There goes Lance in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What a time to be a Bison. I think we're going to end up having to have another wonderful call from Jeff Culhane as we are to open the show, as we are here on a Wednesday morning, and the star quarterback of the North Dakota State University Bison has declared for the NFL draft. Trey Lance is heading out of town to train and get ready for the 2021 NFL draft, and it became the first early entry in the history of North Dakota State football into the draft. There had been no one who had not exhausted their eligibility at NDSU that had headed to the NFL draft. And to break that all down, as well as the victory over Central Arkansas, my good friend Cole Jarrett. Cole, how are we doing, buddy?
Good. Can't complain. Pretty wild times in Bison Nation right now, but also exciting times at the same time. So, you know, we had our one football game 3 years in a row undefeated for NDSU, I guess, if you want to count the one game as a complete season for the fall. But I think everyone got what they were looking for in a little bit of football action. Now we know what happens with Trey, and I think now a little bit discussion to talk about for the next few months before we play Youngstown.
Yeah, it certainly brings fun discussion and fun. You know, what might things look like? You know, our friend Beth Houle at Valley News Live asked that question yesterday of, you know, Coach Hintz, are these new hurdles? Are these objects that you guys haven't had to deal with? And she was talking about the transfer of Jabril Cox to LSU and the obvious, going forward of Trey Lance to the NFL draft. Now, one thing could have been avoided, sort of. One thing couldn't. I think you play Jabril Cox as a true freshman. He ends up leaving North Dakota State after playing 4 years. You weren't going to play Trey Lance as a Trey freshman or as a true freshman. I don't care how good Trey was when he got to North Dakota State. He wasn't going to start over Easton Stick. And I want to kind of start there, Cole, with the advent of the transfer portal and high school athletes kind of being bigger, stronger, faster, et cetera. Do you foresee a little bit of a shift towards, you know, most guys at North Dakota State were 5-year guys. You came in, you did your Kramer year, you played 4 years, you left. Do you think that the top half or the top side of the talent in the Reeves recruiting classes are going to start playing so they don't have to worry so much about grad transfers? They don't have to worry so much about the portal. They don't have to, I don't know, as though they're going to be worried about early entries into the draft. Those are probably good problems to have. But do you think younger kids are going to start playing earlier?
It's hard to say on that. You know, I think if guys are ready, you know, they'll get snapped. I think that 4-game rule that's been implemented will change things for sure. I think a lot more guys will maybe get 4 games during their true freshman season that, you know, maybe didn't before. And if they perform well in those 4 games, maybe leaving them in and burning that year of eligibility. But at the same time, I think you want to extend a player's career as long as possible. I don't think you ever expect a player to leave NDSU and head out of here. You know, a Jabril Cox situation is pretty rare because really, if you're leaving NDSU, are you really leaving NDSU to go to a MAC or a Mountain West team? You know, you're probably only going if you're heading to a Big 10, Big 12, you know, the Power 5 conferences. And, you know, there's a lot of players that have come through here that could easily go start. You know, Dylan Radins could have left this program and went and played for some teams. I'm sure he had some messages sent his way saying, hey, we'd love to have you on our football team this fall when things were getting pretty wild. And, you know, as much as I love NDSU, you know, we're still an FCS stepping stone type program. You know, we're not the big dogs in the fight there. And I think, you know, in the long run, we're probably going to see some players leave. You know, we're going to get some really good talent to come here like we have been for the last decade. And, you know, by the time these guys are seniors, they might have an opportunity to go play for their, you know, hometown team that they always wanted to go play for. You know, if the Gophers would have called me, you know, obviously with how terrible they were at the time, I would have never left. But, you know, if they were a good program at the time, you know, maybe it would have been a conversation I would have had with them, just because the opportunity to play Big Ten football or big, you know, Big 12 football or SEC football is, you know, a once in a lifetime opportunity. And, you know, I think you might see some kids, you know, grad transfer out, you know, leaving this portal thinking they can go play other places. But at the same time, you might get that some of that from the Division II area as well. You know, some of those guys, you know, playing, you know, down at Mankato, you know, might, or Duluth, or even across the river at Moorhead, say, hey, like, I could go play a year at NDSU. You know, I could go play at that level. And, you know, as much as we might lose a couple guys, we might pick a couple guys up too. But NDSU is just not huge on the transfer thing. It's such a family. It's such a you know, brotherhood when you get here. I think it's going to be hard for a lot of guys to leave, but I think you'll see a guy here and there that are going to take that opportunity and take that chance and try to play at the highest level possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think, you know, like you sort of said, you get maybe if Nick DeLuca, for example, hadn't redshirted his first year, maybe he does grad transfer home because the Huskers need, you know, a starting Mike or whatever, or even a Phoenix Sproles, the Gophers need a wide receiver or whatever. I understand where you're coming from, but I do agree in that that's a side of the transfer portal that people maybe aren't looking at. Maybe, you know, like, I know Brandon's the one that played at, there is with the Panthers now, but the other Zylstra that was down at Mankato, you know, maybe NDSU's thin at receiver, and you're right, maybe he can't play at Minnesota, but wants to come up and play at NDSU, or, you know, somebody from a Northern state or from a UMD at a position where NDSU, you know, needs a body. Like maybe this year they could have, you know, brought in a defensive tackle or brought in a cornerback from a Division II program that wanted a chance to shine a little bit brighter than D2. So it's an interesting thing. I think you're right, though. We kind of have to view this program as a mid-major program, which it is, and which is, frankly, a tremendous step forward from where it could have been as far as where they were as frankly, not the top of the top at Division II by the time that Gene Taylor and Joe Chapman took this program. The entire athletic program, of course, not just football, but took the athletic program from Division II to Division I to be considered, in my opinion, a top 50 or top 60 program in the country, which I think most people would, or at least people that understand pro development and understand the level of football, they are one of the best 50 or 60 teams in the country year in and year out. But you get a Jabril Cox who has an opportunity to go to the defending national champions, FBS national champions, and improve his draft stock, or at least the people that were in his ear tell him that they can improve his draft stock. You're right, that might happen once every five years, but is likely not a recurring problem. More often than not, it's going to be guys that come in and weren't, you know, aren't ready for the time commitment that it takes to be a Bison, the effort that it takes to be the Bison, and sometimes too the length of time that it takes you to climb that depth chart. There are a number of guys in this program that don't, you know, really play teams until their redshirt sophomore year and aren't necessarily starters until they're a junior or senior, if they ever even are. I mean, it takes sometimes a long time to climb that depth chart in this program.
Yeah, it's really difficult. I think this program recruits super, super well. And you know, every single year, I don't think we really miss on a position group. You know, maybe 1 year here or there that we're a little low, say at linebacker or safety or whatnot. But, you know, I think we did such a good job of building depth every single year through the recruiting process that when you come here, it's not automatic that you're going to play. You know, it's not automatic, you know, by year three that you're going to start by any means. It's a grind. And, you know, they're recruiting somebody every single year to replace you. And that's something you have to understand when you get here is, you're here, you're a freshman, and you know what they're doing next year? They're going to find somebody that's better than you to play over you. And you have to progress every single year if you want to play here. And it's a grind. It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of work. I think we grind harder than most college programs do in the nation. And that's a, you know, big part of our success. So, you know, Bison football is not for everybody by any means. And You know, when kids come here and you know, they fall in love with the program, that's why they stay. And, you know, when guys leave early, it's because they don't fit in. You know, they don't want to buy into that program. And when guys leave early, it's not because they didn't, you know, love the program. It's because they want to, you know, put themselves in the best position possible. And I'll never fault any kid for, you know, for taking an opportunity to give himself and his family the best opportunity possible to make it to the NFL, to make that kind of life-changing and generational wealth.
No, I don't think you can. I mean, I don't think you can fault anyone. I will say, you know, my personal opinion is I don't know in Jabril's case or really anybody's case at this point, if that's your reason for leaving North Dakota State, don't leave. Just my opinion. I know it might sound a little homerish, whatever, but you've got right now, Trey Lance is likely to be a top 10 pick. Dylan Raiden's consistently mocked in the first round. Both players, frankly, mocked ahead of Jabril Cox. Now, that's because quarterbacks and left tackles are worth their weight in gold. But the point that I'm trying to make is Jabril Cox could have been a top 60 pick. He could have been a second-round, third-round guy staying at North Dakota State, maybe fringe first round if he has a great year. If your reason for leaving North Dakota State is improved draft stock, I don't see it. Every single scout is getting their tape now. They're sending every week, even before there were a billion people at this game to scout Trey the one time. Even before that, you and I go up to the same area when, you know, NDSU has home games and the dome is full. There's always six or seven names, four or five scouts from NFL teams at every NDSU game. I don't think that is a valid reason to leave North Dakota State. If you can play, the Senior Bowl will find you, scouts will find you, and frankly, the draft industrial complex will find you. The Draft Network and Matt Miller from Bleacher Report have been talking about Trey Lance and Dylan Raiden's ever since the end of the game at James Madison. If you can play in the internet age where folks have access to all of your games on TV copy, and even if you try even just a little bit, you end up with the All-22 like I have, people will find you. And I think North Dakota State is a pretty darn good springboard for that. They're going to probably be the first FCS team in history in this spring to have two first-round picks from the same school, which is going to be a pretty big-time showcase for NDSU. What do you think as a defensive guy, what do you think some of the things that need to be developed? Because I saw a lot of chatter from NDSU fans, and I think some of it's jealousy, some of it's, boy, I am hurt and I wish he was staying type of stuff. But what is it that you would like to see as far as a progression from Trey Lance moving into, you know, kind of a pro career? Where do you feel like he needs to improve to be a successful NFL quarterback?
I think, like every quarterback, is just throwing the football. You know, being more consistent, being more accurate in the intermediate to mid range game. His deep ball, I think, is already pretty elite at this point. We saw that on that ball to Watson that ended up bouncing off his hands. But he throws a really, really tight spiral. He throws a really pretty ball. It's very catchable. Guys, you know, don't drop his ball very often, and there's a reason for it. Some guys just throw a catchable ball, and guys catch it well. And he has that. He has that ability to, you know, read defenses pre-snap and make those adjustments. And I think just, you know, people are pretty harsh on him in this game. And, yeah, he didn't play well, but there was a lot on his shoulders, a lot of pressure. I think they got out of their normal play calling a little bit in this game. And, you know, what he needs to do is just keep extending plays, you know, just keep using his abilities athletically to, you know, put his team in good situations and take what's there, you know, and try not to force things. And that's what he was so good at last year, is he didn't force ever. You know, that's why he didn't throw an interception. He made really, really good decisions. And I think he'll continue to make those decisions as he keeps developing. And I think the biggest thing is just that intermediate passing game for him is just getting a little bit more accuracy there. And you look at a guy like Josh Allen, who, you know, was completing 50% of his balls in college to where he's at now. I mean, when you get with these pro coaches, you get with these, you know, these pro trainers, I mean, what they can do with these guys with so much talent is pretty incredible. And I'm excited to see how Trey develops with his throwing mechanics, with his ability to hit targets on the run. And I don't think there's, you know, a ton of room or a ton of need for him to improve, you know, dramatically in a lot of areas. I think he has such a good base to start with that, when teams bring him in for a workout and watch him throw at his pro day and his combine and just watch him run around, they're just going to be so wow with his ability to do everything. And, you know, he's going to be a little bit raw in a couple areas because he only has like 17 starts. But, you know, just keep getting those reps and keep developing, you know, is the biggest thing for him. And whatever team he ends up with, I don't think he'll probably be a day one starter. You know, I think he'll fall to a team that maybe has a quarterback in place already where he can now develop, you know, behind that guy, learn the system for a year, kind of like that redshirt season. And I think he'll take off from there.
Yeah, I like the Panthers as a fit for him in a big, big way. You've seen a lot of Trey Lance to the Panthers in mock drafts, and I'm using them as a specific example because I think he could Patrick Mahomes, Teddy Bridgewater's Alex Smith. And for those of you that don't follow the Chiefs very closely, the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes right in that area where I think it's likely that Trey gets drafted. I believe that was right after, obviously, Chicago took Mitch Trubisky, and then I believe Houston takes Deshaun Watson.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after that, the Chiefs take Patrick Mahomes. And they sit him behind a pro's pro, and Alex Smith. He learns for a year, comes out and absolutely sets the league on fire. I'm not comparing Trey to Patrick Mahomes. I'm not. That's not the point I'm trying to make. But I think that that redshirt year where you learn a pro system is going to be big for him. I think there are some developmental things that he needs to get to work on. The two things that I have been kind of not necessarily harping on, but I've mentioned with him is number one, I'd like to see a little bit more touch in places. Kid has an absolute rocket attached to his right shoulder. And a lot of the times he uses it. More often than not, that ball is coming in hot. I mentioned on the interception that he threw against Central Arkansas. He used a 4-iron and a wedge might have been a touchdown. And the 4-iron was intercepted. There were throws like that last year where a little bit of touch, a little bit of air under the ball would have made it, you know, completion. We're picking nits, obviously. This kid's an early entry top 10 pick. The other thing I'd like to see too, Cole, is anticipation. I've always felt that Trey likes to see it before he throws it. And that is fine in the FCS. That's fine where you have guys that are creating that much separation. But there are throws in the NFL that you're going to have to throw before your guy gets there. And I think he hasn't done a ton of that at North Dakota State. He's done some, and he's made some of those throws. But that's like where you saw even an Easton Stick develop. Now, Easton doesn't have Trey's physical gifts. Obviously, Easton was a fifth-round pick. Trey's going to probably go in the top 10 to 12. But when you saw year 3 years Easton, year 4 Easton, and then ultimately year 5 Easton, that's when I think you started to see some more anticipatory throws. But I'm with you. I definitely agree that a club that can utilize another quarterback while they're getting Trey ready, even God forbid if it was, you know, Nick Foles and the Chicago Bears, somebody that can allow him to sit at least the first 10 weeks of year one. I think you're potentially creating an issue for yourself if you ask Trey Lance to be your week one, day one starter, unless you're going to kind of build sort of a Lamar Jackson offense around him where it's a lot of single read, a lot of RPO, a lot of stuff where you're going to use his legs, et cetera. If you want to kind of open the things up in the way that Patrick Mahomes has, I think you got to give him a little bit of time. But you can see, as I mentioned, Lamar Jackson, I think Patrick Mahomes is a good example. Josh Allen is a phenomenal example. These athletic quarterbacks that can make plays with their feet and their arms are definitely kind of the next evolution of where the good teams in the NFL are. Deshaun Watson, another great example. Obviously, the coach just got fired, traded away to DeAndre Hopkins, created a lot of problems. But Deshaun Watson is still very, very valuable. And I think those kind of offenses are something that's probably going to work for Trey.
Yeah, I think so. And obviously a team that interests me is the Minnesota Vikings having Kirk Cousins on one more year of a monster deal before they can kind of get out of it a little bit is probably a team going to be picking somewhere between 10 and 15 this year that I hopefully look at as a landing spot. As a Vikings fan, I would love to have to see you cover the Vikings every week on that, Ross. That'd be a lot of fun for me.
I just that kid deserves better than that. I just want better than that for that kid. No, obviously, Eddie, you know, that would frankly be not a terrible destination, as much as it pains me to say it. I think Adam's probably going to be, you know, he could be his late career Jordy Nelson, if you will, kind of that security blanket, and then he'd have a super duper stud to grow old with in Justin Jefferson, no question about it. Although I would like to see massive investments in the offensive line so the poor kid doesn't die.
Yeah, I think we just draft Trey in the first round, and then I think we have like 14 other picks. We just invest all of them into the offensive line and just see what happens. So I think that's
why Trey in round one and next year. Trade up the back half of round one, as Trader Rick likes to do. You just snag Dylan, and then you got no problems.
Right. I like everything we got rolling there. But yeah. Do you think the biggest reason for Trey not wanting to participate in the spring and then having to come back next fall is him potentially playing 30 plus more football games here at NDSU and the wear and tear that would be to his body? You know, he might have thought maybe, hey, I need a little bit more development, but man, I started looking at it. It's like he has a chance to play 30 more games here. Like that would have, you know, that would have been really, really hard on his body. You know, if we make that deep run in the playoffs in this fall or the spring season, then another, 15 games if they play a full season next year. I think that had to be some of the biggest reasons for him to take that jump to leave for the NFL. I don't know what your thoughts on that were.
Yeah, and so I kind of laid out before this game, I did a pod with Sam Herder and laid out the path for Trey to come back. Because you've got an 8-game Valley season in the spring, and then they've moved the FCS championship to 16 games, so you would go 16 teams, the FCS championship is 16 teams. So you got 8, and then you go 16, 8, 4, 2. So that's if you win the title, you play 4, which is no different from NDSU because they get a bye every year. So you play your 4, so that's 12. Then you play your 15-game season and your 4, and that's another, you know, 19 – or that. Excuse me, you play your normal game, and then you play your 4, that's 15 – plus 12, that's 27 games. You know, that's a lot of games. The path back for Trey, in my opinion, would have been twofold. First of all, stays in school, gets his degree. He was on track to graduate in December of 2021. He can always do that. I value education. His mom and dad value education. I had a chance to speak to Carlton a little bit on Monday. I would anticipate at some point Trey probably does get his degree from North Dakota State, but Your mind is going to work a lot longer than your body is kind of the deal there. You can come back in 2029 if you want and finish your degree from North Dakota State. You can take online classes in the summer, as many NFL and NBA and et cetera players do. What you can't do, though, is declare for the draft and guarantee where his stock is. And right now, his stock is QB3, which over the last couple of years has been drafted 6th, 8th, 13th, and 10th, something like that. That's where you're talking about when you're QB3. And I think there's a big enough gap between him and Kyle Trask or Jamie Newman or the kid from BYU or whatever you're thinking. I mean, he is clearly in a competition with Justin Fields for QB2. And I think there's a big gap in talent and what NFL evaluators think between him and the next guy. What I thought the path for him back, though, point two, was I thought he could have been pick 1-1 potentially in 2022. I thought it would be him and probably North Carolina's Sam Howell duking it out. And I thought 27 more games with Randy Hedberg, more excellent film on tape, really getting – he already was dominating, but really getting to the point where it seemed like he was toying with people. I think that Trey Lance, like I said, has a chance to go 1-1, but not risking injury in 27 games, having brought a national championship to Fargo, having got to be with his buddies for basically 3 years, and pretty much locking yourself into going 15th or sooner, and as you mentioned, creating generational wealth for himself. I think that's you're down the right path. You're barking up the correct tree in that daunting of a path with 27 games in basically 10 months. with the only goal being to potentially get your degree and move up 10 spots in the draft. Now, granted, potentially win two more national championships and spend that time with your brothers at North Dakota State. That has a tremendous amount of value. But just from a business perspective, moving from pick 9 to pick 1 and having to survive 27 games to do it, I get where Trey's head's at for sure.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I'm excited for him to leave. I think, you know, obviously he comes back, and if he plays dominant, he could definitely improve that stock. I just think, yeah, like you said, there's too much risk for him not to take the opportunity he has right now and go be a first-round draft pick. And, you know, even just getting drafted anywhere in that first round is going to set you up for a long time in your life. And, you know, being a quarterback, you're probably going to get some different opportunities that most guys don't get, you know, sponsorship-wise and everything. Obviously, we see what Carson Wentz, you know, signed on his second type deal. So I think he's definitely making the right decision, and I'm excited to see that how the draft process plays out for him.
Yeah, I mean, let's all be extremely clear. If Trey isn't terrible, and I mean that, like if he's a functional starter in the NFL, his second contract will be at a minimum with the TV deals that are coming for the NFL and the way that I think contracts are moving. Trey's going to make $30 million a year. If he earns a second contract, and there would be absolutely no reason to believe that he won't, Trey Lance is 4 years away right now from making $30+ million a year. By the way, Derek Brown, who was picked roughly where I think Trey will be picked this year, the Auburn defensive tackle, he signed a 4-year, $23 million contract as a top 10 pick, and that doesn't suck either.
I mean, I could make a living on that money.
You and I could make it work. We could make it work.
Definitely. I think it's, you know, obviously Dylan has an opportunity too. You know, obviously if he's a first-round talent, you know, that's a ton of money, and those left tackles get paid tons as well. You know, Laremy Tunsil, and obviously you got Bill O'Brien, you know, slinging out money down there to him, but, you know, Dylan might not do so bad himself at left tackle if he can play pretty at elite level. I mean, Billy Turner just got paid almost 10 a year from the Green Bay Packers. So I think there's two guys that might help build that practice squad here or practice stadium here in a couple years.
Yeah, that was a big deal. You know, Billy was a $600,000-$700,000 a year guy as a third round pick, then kind of kicked around the league making the minimum, and all of a sudden, 4 years, $28 million from the Packers feels pretty good, and he's kicking some ass at right tackle right now. No sacks, no hits allowed through 2 weeks. There were some questions about Billy at guard in year one, and they kicked him back out to his more natural position at tackle. He's been pretty good, and you're right, man. Right now, Green Bay's in negotiations with David Bakhtiari, and Bakhtiari's pointing at that Tunsil contract, saying, pay me my money. If you can be a good left tackle in this league, the way things are going, you might make $20 million a year, and that is certainly workable. I'm going to ask you a question, Cole, that I asked Coach Ants, and I got kind of I don't know if he knew what I meant, because what I asked was, how does your offense look different with Zeb in instead of Trey? And he basically said, well, it doesn't, because Zeb knows the playbook, and that's not what I meant. I mean, obviously, Zeb has been there. He's a really bright kid, son of a coach. I get that he has probably a tremendous grasp of the playbook. What I meant is, I think Zeb is a good athlete, but a different style of quarterback than Carson, Easton, and Trey. I don't know how much of NDSU's QB run game is still going to be in as far as, you know, the jet action, the all of the things that they run horizontally where Trey kind of keeps and goes, or it's third and two and we really need these 2 yards, so we're just going to run QB power. How much do you think this offense changes and moves more towards like maybe even a Steve Walker type offense?
I don't think it does. I think what we do is so dangerous in the sense that with that quarterback run game in there, and yeah, he's not near the speed by any means that he has, but I don't think he's as bad of an athlete as people think. You know, when we see him run around out there, you know, wearing the knee brace, he just kind of looks not that athletic in certain situations, you know, but he's a big, strong kid. And, you know, I've had an opportunity to watch him, you know, practice a ton. And I think he's, he's in a situation where he can do some things with his legs just to keep you honest enough. And if you don't respect what Zeb can do with his legs, you're gonna take a shot. You know, you're not going to be able to hold up against him in certain situations. I definitely think Zeb can run any part of this offense that you want him to. I really think that. I don't think you want to change your offense, because what we do offensively with the jet sweep stuff, with the quarterback run game, makes everything so dangerous. I don't think you want to take Christian Watson's jet sweep out of the playbook, because I think Zeb can still hit it up the middle for 5-6 yards, and he can bust one every once in a while for 20 plus. And I just don't think you might see the 75 yarders that you saw from Trey, but I think you want to keep that playbook pretty similar. I just don't think, obviously, you'll see maybe as much of an explosive athlete out of the quarterback position, but I think it's a good opportunity to see some other guys step up. And I think Seth Wilson's on pace for a monster season coming up here. He looked really good in that game.
Boy, did he look good.
Oof, yeah, I think he is going to be the lead bell cow in this back, and he's going to put up a ton of yards and be a big issue for a lot of teams this year. So I'm excited for that to come to fruition, and I'm excited for really Zeb to take the reins. I think he knows the system very well. He's played in big-time games before, and I think his arm is plenty good. He's very, very accurate. And, he might maybe have some of those throws that we talked about that maybe Trey was lacking. You know, he might have those throws in his playbook right now, and the passing game might even get more deadly.
Yeah, Zeb can really spin it. I mean, he's a developed passer. I'm excited to dive. I'm hoping in my strange library of all 22 college film, I'm hoping I can kind of fish through there and find his 300-yard performance against Oklahoma and do a breakdown of that for Bison Report. I think that'd be a lot of fun, because obviously we don't have a ton of Zeb tape. He was really in junk time, and we just don't have a lot. You've had the opportunity to see him practice, and it's funny you say that. So when Zeb committed, I was able to get in touch with him, and we did an interview, and it's, if you go look through the archives on Bison Report Radio, it's in here. My discussion with Zeb, and he made damn sure that I knew that he was a good athlete, and that his lack of running around at Iowa State was because they were so depleted numbers wise at quarterback that if he got hurt, they were screwed. So he stayed in the pocket, but he wanted me to know and to make sure that everyone knew that he could run, and that he had feet and he could move. You've seen him a little bit. Can he even move like Brock?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's right there with the athleticism of Brock, maybe more athletic. I think, those two are going to be maybe the more comparable athlete in that situation. I think he can do plenty of things that Brock did athletically. And I just don't think there's really many quarterbacks in today's game that are statues anymore. And, all of them can run, and I think some are just way more athletic than others. And this is a guy that I think is going to surprise a lot of teams in our conference with his athletic ability.
Yeah, and I hope people understand, too, when we're talking about Trey and Easton, we're not just talking about, like, athletic FCS quarterbacks. We're talking about actual freaks. Like, Easton was the most athletic quarterback in his draft class, I think outside of Tyree Jackson, who's no longer even in the league. Trey will likely be the most athletic quarterback in his draft class. And I'm saying, like, draft class, all of the quarterbacks in college football. So when we're talking about somebody who isn't as fast as Easton or can't break as many tackles as Trey, nobody else has that quarterback walking through that door either.
Yeah, there's a special talent. I mean, when you look at it, like, Lamar Jackson's backed up by RG3. RG3 is an incredible, incredible athlete, but he's not Lamar Jackson. I think that, when you start comparing these guys, nobody's going to compare to Trey Lance. I don't think we're going to have a quarterback here maybe ever again that looks and does what Trey Lance did, I think he's a special, special kid, and I'm excited for Zeb to get that opportunity to prove what he can do and prove that he is an athlete. And I mean, there's a reason he went to Iowa State. There's a reason why he had a Big 12 offer. This guy isn't no chump by any means.
For sure. No, and that's funny you say that. I had a discussion with a staff member at NDSU, and he kind of said the same thing. He said, I think we have a decent chance at some point to develop another kid like Easton. I don't know if we'll ever get another Trey. And that, I mean, he really was that level of athlete. You saw that ESPN College Game Day feature where everybody wanted to move him to outside linebacker or move him to safety. Specifically, he wanted to be the starting quarterback at Minnesota, and they just whiffed. You know, the folks, they just whiffed. And unfortunately for Bison fans, that whiff only gave them 17 starts with probably the most physically talented kid you're ever going to see play quarterback at NDSU. He was that damn good. All right. Well, Cole, we're 35 minutes in, and we haven't even talked about the Central Arkansas game. So what were your main takeaways from the win over UCA? Specifically, obviously, I want your take on the defensive side of the ball. I thought the defensive end specifically were good. I thought Tony Pierce was excellent. I thought Logan McCormick played really well. And defensive tackle Lane Tucker, I thought, played really well. Logan and Tony didn't convert any of those pressures to sacks, but I thought they were active at least.
Yeah, I liked what I saw in the game out of our defense. And, you know, overall, I mean, early in the game, they were dominant. They were getting three and outs and getting pressure on the quarterback. You know, as the game wore on, I think they were on the field quite a bit. To me, we took more snaps than they were ready for. And early on, it's hard to be in shape and ready in certain situations when you only have one game. And the COVID fall camp where guys are in and out, you know, all the time because of close contacts and testing and all this stuff. So it's hard to get in game shape. So, you know, I think the defense definitely wore down as the game went on. But overall, I was excited to see what I saw out of that defensive line. You know, a lot of young bodies on there and not a lot of size. So not normal for an NDSU defensive line. But, you know, I still think I want to see them go against the Missouri Valley line. You know, nothing against Central Arkansas's offensive line, but just not the same as what you see in the Valley week in, week out. It's a little bit more physical. So, but you know what? I'm not disappointed in them by any means because they didn't get blown up by an average offensive line. That I thought they played pretty well in that game. They brought, you know, a lot of pressures, used a lot of twists, and held up very well up front against a really good running back. You know, that running back for Central Arkansas is a really, really good player. They're able to bottle him up and force him to be a one dimensional team. And you know, overall, with our defense, a lot of young bodies to develop over the next 4 months here with Jim Kramer. We know what he can do with guys, and I'm excited to see how these guys bounce back after one game. You know, going into Youngstown State, you know, I think this is a much better opponent than Youngstown State will be, and I think we'll see that defense grow. I think we'll see that defensive line have about 8 more pounds on each guy when we come back this spring for football. So I'm excited to see those guys. The corner position looked good. You know, obviously, we'll see what happens with Josh Hayes. I hope he stays as well. That would help things out a ton. And, you know, just a little inexperience in that secondary. But overall, you know, a few blown coverages here and there. But I think you're pretty excited what you saw on Saturday for sure.
Yeah, Josh was exceptional. And I think if I'm him, I'm staying. And I mean that I think he has opportunity to showcase himself really in the spring and potentially be an NFL guy. I mean, he has the length of an NFL corner. I don't know as though his current resume is all over the NFL's radar at this point. I think he has a chance, though, to work that way. And, you know, Jalen Allison was a UDFA, but he was a priority UDFA. He was signed right after, and Tampa screwed around with him, tried to move him to receiver, did all sorts of stupid stuff. But I think if you're Josh Hayes, your goal then is to get a little bit beyond where Jalen Allison got and get to that point where you're a sixth or a seventh round pick instead of, you know, waiting for that phone call, because that brings a lot of other stuff kind of into play and the team doesn't have as much invested into you, especially in these kind of wild times. All right, Cole, I appreciate the time, and folks, we will hopefully get back in. I think we might start a little bit of a maybe fall preview. Spring preview. We're hoping, of course, that North Dakota State basketball gets up and rolling without any questions. We'll certainly have Nate Zastro on to talk a little bit about hoops. But, hey, Cole, thanks for the time, buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys, until next time.